In Luke chapter 17 and verse 32. Luke 17 and verse 32, he says simply, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. This morning, that's what I'd like for us to do, is remember Lot's wife. And in this passage, if you get the full text of it, the Lord was talking about the conditions of the world as it would be at His coming. His second coming. If you go up just a little bit, he says in verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage till the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you that in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, where the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. When we think about the spiritual conditions of our land and the conditions of our age, our mind ought to go back to the Bible. And when we begin to connect the dots, we ought to go back to the book of Genesis, as Jesus did when he said it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And I remember, as you probably do, men standing in pulpits, folks who considered Lot and wondering, why did Lot do what he did? And why did Lot's wife do what she did? And what it must have been like to live in a place like Sodom and Gomorrah. And you and I, we haven't moved like Lot did into Sodom and Gomorrah, but as it has turned out, Sodom and Gomorrah has moved into our land. And it's quite a different world than what it was 100 years ago. It's a different world than what it was 50 years ago. It's a different world than what it was 30 years ago. And folks, even 10 years ago, it's different now than what it was then. And if the Lord doesn't come back very, very soon, I shudder to think what it might be like another 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, or 30 years from now. It is very interesting that Jesus, as he was preaching this and teaching this and warning of what conditions would be like, that he pauses to say, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. The information we have about Mrs. Lot is very little. We don't have her name. We don't know what country she originated from. The Bible is very, very silent about several things about her life. But Jesus said, remember her. Remember her. So there's some things that we can remember about her. And I believe some things that we can glean from her, because what Jesus says was coming in the last days, I believe we're experiencing. Now, I don't know how close we are to the Lord's return, but I believe that we're closer to the Lord's return than what they were when he preached this. I believe we're closer to the Lord's return than what we were 10 minutes ago. Certainly what we were 10 years ago. I believe we've been in the last days for a long, long time. And certainly we ought to remember Lot's wife and consider the lessons that we can learn from her. Because the lessons that we learn from her are applicable for us today. In Genesis chapter 19, and verses 15 through 26. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. Now that's a sermon all in its own. While he lingered, while he lingered. Oh, why did he linger? You see, we're remembering Lot's wife, but let us not forget about Lot. You see, men and women, we all have responsibility as we live in modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. It came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee. Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto me, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the thing thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew those cities and all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. We notice a few things here. We notice that the city couldn't be destroyed until Lot was gone. You see, Jesus said it's the way it would be in the Lord's return. Like in the days of Noah, the days of Lot. You want to know why I believe in the pre-tribulational, one of the reasons why I believe in the pre-tribulational rapture of the Lord is because of what we find here in Noah and in Lot. The rain didn't fall, the flood didn't come until Noah was safe in the ark. The judgment of God didn't come until Lot was gone out of the city, you see. And I know some guys that make fun of this sort of thing. And I'm not saying we won't go through tribulations, lowercase t, but we'll not go through the great tribulation. Lot and his family had some troubles, trials, certainly. But they did not suffer the wrath of God that was poured out on that city. But remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. This is a true story, folks. Some people try to say that it's a fairy tale, that it's a myth. But Jesus, when he was there in the New Testament, he said, remember Lot's wife. She was real, folks. She was real. Lot was real. Sodom and Gomorrah were real. Those were real places. God is not happy with the wicked. And we can speculate all day long as to why this country has been preserved as long as it has. But I believe one of the reasons why this country is being preserved is because of God's people who are still here. Working. Spreading the gospel. Doing some great things. But I tell you what. Watch this now. We're seeing some things happening in this country. What's going on? A lot of the older generation is dying and going on. And we're not seeing so much of the younger generation rising up. We're not seeing so many God-called preachers anymore. We're seeing churches shut down and go away. I believe that if the Lord doesn't come back soon, we may soon see the fall of this country. I don't believe that you'll find anywhere in the Bible, in prophecy, I don't believe you'll find America listed there. Now, it's possible that this country may break up, fall apart as it is right now. And there may be remnants. But on the world scene, I don't believe it's going to be as significant as what it has been in world history. And why is that? Why is that? Because God's judgment is going to come on this country if they keep going the way that they're going. But the fact is that judgment is coming to this whole entire world. And just like Lot was removed before judgment fell completely on Sodom and Gomorrah, just like Noah and his family were removed before judgment began to fall, so it will be. We'll be raptured up out of here before judgment completely falls and begins to fall on this world. But we're told to remember Lot's wife. We're told to remember Lot's wife. She was a real woman. As she was escaping from out of that awful place, what did she do? What did she do? Well, verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. That seems like a small thing, doesn't it? She looked back. That's all she did. But God had said previously, don't look back. But she did. She looked back. She looked back. Though the Bible is silent about her life, we can assume some things about her. Number one, she was Lot's wife. It's hard to tell it from Genesis, but in 2 Peter chapter 2, and go there with me. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 through 8. Well, verse 6, it says, "In turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." She was married to a righteous man named Lot. Now, he wasn't perfect by any means. That's obvious from the book of Genesis. But he was a righteous man nonetheless. You know what that means? She was living in the absolute best house that she could have been living in the whole of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. That means that she knew some truth. She was around it. The head of her household, her husband, was a righteous man. She also must have known Abraham and Sarah. Because of Lot. We know of their spiritual condition. We know of Lot's spiritual condition. But we have nothing in the scriptures about Lot's wife's spiritual condition. Nothing that tells us that she was saved or that she was righteous. But she had righteous people in her life. Even though she was living in a wicked society, she had righteous people in her life. An aunt and uncle by marriage, her husband. Surely their prayers, their faith, they were no secret to her. No doubt she knew. If it wasn't in her heart, it was at least in her head, in her ears. She knew something about the truth. Obviously, she didn't have the full Bible like what we have. None of them did. But they had something. They had something in that wicked world that they lived in. And how many people in our world, relatives that we know, folks that we know, some who have even sat down in these pews, some who may need to hear a message like this, in this wicked world that we live in, remember Lot's wife. Because folks, having a righteous spouse, an aunt, an uncle, going to church, being a member of a church, none of those things will save. When we remember Lot's wife, we're reminded that there are some who live in a wicked and evil world like Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the world that we live in, who have access to the truth, but still will perish, never believing it. Never believing it. His wife looked back from behind him. She became a pillar of salt. Why did she look back? Why did she look back? Those are the words that echo so many thousands of years forward to this present day. That she looked back and became a pillar of salt. Why did God command her not to look back? Oh, beloved, understand something. The command had been given in Genesis 19 there. Escape for thy life, look not behind thee. Those are easy enough command to get that God gave. But as fire and brimstone began to fall from heaven, she turned back. It seemed like a small sin to so many as we think about it. She was escaping like she was told. She just took a peek. Think about it for a moment. She had family. She had friends who were still there. But think of it for a moment. God had told her one thing. But her love for the world was stronger than her love for God. That's the reality of it. That's the reality of it. When we separate the emotion out of it, that was the reality. God said, don't look back. Her emotion said, I need to look back. That's rebellion, folks. That's rebellion. The Bible does not tell us they're small sins and big sins so much as just that they're sins. When we disobey God, it's a serious thing. I imagine the scene in those days. It was probably custom for the husband to walk first and for the wife to walk behind. We don't know her heart for sure. We can only assume. Maybe she was concerned about those who were there. But maybe she didn't believe that God would really destroy all of that. Maybe she felt that her relatives were righteous and that God would spare it because they were still there. Whatever way we try to reason, and I don't have to explain to any of you because we all know our minds. When we disobey God, we always try to justify it. We try to come up with a reason why. But his wife looked back from behind him. The look of disobedience. Over in Genesis chapter 19. Verse 26. It says, but his wife looked back from behind him. See, that's there. And then it says, and she became a pillar of salt. Death is a very solemn thing. Yesterday we were in Tennessee, me and the boys. We were at Fort Donelson, the graveyard there. The Union soldiers had been given a proper burial because, you know, the Yankees won. The Confederates were thrown in a mass grave, several hundred. It's horrible. Death is a horrible thing. Death is a solemn thing, but to die in the very act of sin, and to do it suddenly by the hand of an angry God is fearful indeed. It's not just in the Old Testament we read of this. We read of it in the New Testament too. Let's go in and read there in Church at Corinth, Church at Jerusalem. There's examples. Folks don't want to think about God in that way, but God is angry. We're thankful for his grace and his long-suffering. There are times in the scriptures where he does punish, chastise sinners. No wonder Jesus told us to remember Lot's wife. One of these days, When we think about this world, as I considered Lot's wife, thinking about this, you know, there's a lot of things we're attached to in this world. Some of it we're losing. A lot of conveniences, a lot of things that just aren't there anymore. Not the way that they used to be. We can relate in a lot of ways to Lot's wife. But we must understand that to be obedient is so much better. Lot left, but Lot's wife left and turned back and turned to a pillar of salt. It is, so kind of bring us to a close, in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. When we think about Lot's wife, we must remember that there's more to life than just a head knowledge of who God is. That we must not just be hearers of the word, but doers also. And we must also remember that we don't know when we might be called home. None of us know when it might be that the Lord may take us home to be with Him. We don't know, or to put it another way, nobody knows when they might be just one breath away from eternity. And so we need to be sure, as the Bible says, to make our calling and election sure. Lot's wife, I believe, is the type of person who probably thought she was okay because of who her husband was, because of who her in-laws were, and that sort of thing, and thought that she could sneak a look back and be okay. But God had said, no, don't do that. This world is not our home. We must love God more than anything. It's tough. The world is pulling. The world is pulling at everything. And the devil is trying hard. But Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Don't follow after that sort, but follow after righteousness. Follow the Lord. That's what we need to be doing in this world that is a lot like Lot's world. And that was kind of my thoughts as I was driving and thinking on my trip to and from Tennessee. May God add a blessing to His word.